Let us read together in the Word of God, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter, from the 4th verse. We're currently studying Luke's Gospel in our morning worship, and we look for a second time at the parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Shouldn't really be called the parable of the sower, because the parable is not about the sower. It's about the soils that are found in men's hearts. And when a great crowd came together, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it, and choked it. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as Jesus said this, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets, mysteria, mysteries, open secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand." Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, these are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word and grant us an understanding of it. In our study of the Gospel according to St. Luke, in our morning worship, we turn again for a second time to look at this parable of the soils. And I must say here that for years I have tried to find some unifying features to help hold the parable together and make sense of the whole story rather than of the different parts. I had heard countless sermons on the parable of the soils and on the various kinds of soil that you find in men's hearts and the various reactions that you get to the preaching of the word. I had heard about hard, stony hearts and of superficial, emotional hearts and of hearts that were choked with weeds and thorns and so on. But I couldn't discover any unifying features which held the four soils together. But I believe that there are unifying features, and that there are in fact two of them. The first is this. It helps us to realize that in the Middle East, the farmer sows the seed first, before he plows it in. Out he goes with his great basket of seed. And you can see the Arabs doing this to this very day. And the farmer broadcasts the seed all over the place. And it's only later on, when the ground is covered with seed, that he comes back and plows it in. Now, of course, it's very different with us. We plow the land first, and then we sow the seed, and then we come back and we roll it into the ground. As we sing in our harvest hymn, we plow the fields, and then we scatter the good seed in the land, on the land. We plow, and then we scatter the seed. But in the Middle East, they scatter the seed first, and then they plow. And you can imagine that between the sowing of the seed and the plowing of the land, a great deal can happen to it. And in a sense, there is a moment of destiny and of eternal worth, and indeed of eternal danger, between the sowing of the seed, and it lies there exposed, and the plowing of the seed into the ground. And this is what I'm doing here right now. I am broadcasting Christ in the soil of your heart. And I am scattering Christ into the various soils that are represented here today. And later on, if I'm spared, I will plow the seed in by teaching and by praying for you and by having private conversations with you. I will plow in what I have broadcast today. But as I say, between the broadcasting of the seed and the plowing in of the seed, all sorts of things can happen. The birds of the air can come and steal the seed away. The sun can come and scorch the seed. The weeds and the thorns can rise and can choke the seed of Christ. And so if there is a moment of destiny between the sowing and the plowing, if there is a moment of eternal worth and of eternal danger between the sowing and the plowing, can I ask you, how are you reacting right now as I broadcast Christ into the soil of your heart? That's the first unifying principle. Sowing comes before plowing in the Middle East. The second unifying principle is this. The entire story is about the depth of the soil. And that is the vital thing. How deep is the soil in your heart. Now, of course, we are inclined to speak about four kinds of soil in the story. We speak about four kinds of heart and four kinds of response to the preaching of Christ. But in fact, there are six soils in the story. And according to Christ, the first three of these are barren and useless and produce absolutely nothing. Three out of four. Product zero. There's the hard heart. There's the shallow heart. And there's the heart that is choked with the weeds and the thorns of riches and pleasures and the cares of the world. Three of the soils yield nothing. And in the fourth soil, the responsive, fertile, productive soil, the fruit is not equal, because Matthew tells us that some of the seed in the good ground produces 30%, and some 60%, and some 100%. So even amongst Christians who do receive Christ and the seed of the gospel, the fruit varies. And so, although for the sake of convenience, we speak about four soils and the response to the broadcasting of Christ, there are in fact six soils, of which three are completely barren. And it is the depth of the soil that is the determining factor. And so I ask you, as I broadcast Christ into your heart today, what kind of soil is there in your heart? Is it shallow? Or is it deep? Can we look at four soils in turn briefly this morning? First of all, there is the hard heart into which Christ cannot penetrate at all. In verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And the path in question here is the hard road that runs alongside the cornfield. And the road is hard because it is a busy human thoroughfare. People have been coming and going along that road for years. And because of the traffic of men on the road, the earth has been trampled down hard. And the busyness of life has hardened the earth. And so when the seed falls on the path, it simply lies there, and it cannot get through beyond the hardness to anything underneath. And so the seed lies on the surface, useless and unused. The birds of the air come along and devour it. And there are people in the world, and there are people in the church too, whose lives are so busy without Christ that with the passing years and the trampling of feet and the busyness of life. Their hearts get harder and harder until the day comes when the seed of the gospel simply lies on the surface of their hearts and it can't get through. Of course, they come to church. They listen politely to the message, but they do not hear one iota, and they do not take in one vestige, because the busyness of their lives and the ceaseless trampling of feet, commerce, trade, interests, harden the heart. And the seed lies on the surface. And it can't get in. Is this a picture of your heart this morning? Is your heart a busy thoroughfare, trampled down by feet, hardened by the busyness of life? I recall a young man who once showed an interest in the gospel here. One morning he came to church and he seemed to be listening very carefully and earnestly, and he came back in the evening and I thought, here's a man ripe for Christ. Here's a chap who's on the gospel hook. So I approached him in the evening. I said, what did you make of the morning message? Did it reach you? Did it appeal to you? And I must say that it had been an easy message to take in, because it was an alliterative sermon, perhaps made up of three O's, openness, overflow, and outreach, something like that. Or maybe it was three capital P's, peace, power, and plenty. It was an easy sermon to take in. I said, sir, what did you make of the morning message? Did it reach you? And he blushed and he hung his head. He hadn't heard a word. Not a vestige. Not one iota had entered his heart. He'd learned nothing. And I wondered how someone so intelligent and so young and so impressionable could be so hard. And then I found out he was interested in promotion, pleasure, advancement, and these were his gods. He'd nothing against God, nothing against religion, nothing against Jesus, nothing against the church, provided they did not interfere with the real business of life, which was the pursuit of promotion, pleasure, advancement, and so on. And the trampling feet that hardened his heart, and nothing got through. Let me read you a bit from Tillich. I read him last week. It's a book called The Waiting Father, and it's a series of sermons on the parables which he preached in Great St. Michael's in Hamburg. Helmut Tillich was a preacher who was deposed by the Gestapo in 1940. He was accused of being a wild boar in the pulpit, and the Gestapo man who deposed him said, we don't want wild boars in the pulpits in Germany. We want sucking pigs. And he preached. He survived the war. And he preached in St. Michael's three times a Sunday, 4,000 at every service. This is his comment on people whose hearts are hardened because they're too busy. These are very solemn words. Traffic and bustle are not fruit. They are only lost motion. Poor, busy people, where will you be when the great reaper and king comes with his sickle and crown to gather his wheat into his barn? The great tar macadam road, which is your heart, will lie empty and deserted, and only a few patches of weeds will sprout from the cracks in the gutter. And this is all that the Eternal will find when the traffic of men is finally stilled. And then Tilika says, which of us does not recognize his own heart in this picture of the empty tarmacadam road? The hard heart into which Christ cannot enter. Secondly, there is the shallow heart. In verse 6, some fell on rocky ground, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And at first sight, this soil is marginally more promising. The surface may be rocky, but at least there is some soil. And when Christ is broadcast, the seed does get through. But as Christ is broadcast, it is all too clear that the soil is too shallow for roots and too shallow for growth. And the fierce sun soon dries up any moisture, and the roots cannot form. And where there are no roots, seed cannot grow. These people are best known as emotionalists. They are the sort of people who respond eagerly at first to the word. They gladly listen to Christ. But when the seed gets under the surface, the shallow soil is exposed, and there are no roots in their hearts. And the seed dies, and there have always been superficial, emotional folk in the churches. Ezekiel once found himself confronted by a group of these shallow emotionalists. Can I read you these words from Ezekiel chapter 33? Listen to the words. God said, as for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of their houses, they are discussing the minister. The people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of their houses are saying to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes forth from the Lord. Let's go to church and hear this preacher. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say. But they will not do it. For with their lips they show much love. They're emotionalists. But their heart is set on gain. This is a marvelous verse. And lo, you are to them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice. and plays well on an instrument. What a lovely voice our minister has. You should hear the way he rolls his R's. And his Murray Coast accent is a delight. Lo, you are to them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. And when this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Shallow hearts like to hear, but the soil is so shallow that it cannot take root. The seed cannot take root. And did you know, my friends, that Herod the tyrant had an emotional bit in him? We are told in Mark chapter 6 that he loved the preaching of John the Baptist, no less. Listen to these words from Mark 6. Herodias had a grudge against John. Naturally, John had questioned her morals, and she wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, and Herod kept him safe. That's to say, safe from Herodias. When Herod heard John, he was much perplexed. These words. And yet he heard him gladly. These emotionalists who hear gladly, but in whose hearts the soil isn't deep enough for roots, will sometimes go around telling everyone they've been converted or they've made a decision for Christ. All that very well. I believe in being converted. I think you should be converted. I think you should make a decision for Christ. I'm for that. But when the seed breaks through the surface of your heart, if the soil is shallow, roots cannot form, and the seed dies. The Puritans used to call these people temporary Christians. Jesus said, they endure for a while. Temporary Christians. Now you see them, now you don't. Now they're keen, now they're cold. Now they're zealous, now they're not. Temporary Christians with shallow hearts. Can I quote from Tillich again, please? Bear with me. He says of this group, at first, when they receive the word, they are enthusiastic. These people are not just bare rocks. There is at least a thin layer of soil in which the word can germinate, and actually it begins to take root. These people have been touched by the gospel. They even talk about being converted. Or they say they were thrilled by the preaching. And then one day it's all over. The heart that was a glowing coal becomes a cold black lump. What has happened? In most such cases, it was a kind of emotional Christianity. And enthusiasm like that, in most cases, is a straw fire. Enthusiasm like that is a straw fire. So I ask you, what kind of heart have you this morning? Is the soil so shallow that Christ cannot take root in you? The third kind of heart is the promising heart, and you find it in verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it, and it choked it. Once again, there's a fair amount of promise in this kind of heart, because the soil is deeper. The trouble about deep soil is this, that it can also be full of the seeds of weeds. Dandelion seeds, sticky willow seeds, plantain seeds, shepherd's purse seeds, vetch seeds, umbellifera seeds, and the seeds of the weeds are hidden in the soil. But at least the soil is deeper, and the broadcasting of Christ is a promising affair. And out goes the seed, but it is a fact that in the Middle East, weeds grow faster than wheat. And the weeds are eyes, a forest of thorns, and choke the tender plants. And Jesus interpreted the weeds and the thorns as the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. My friend, if ever the judgment of God hung over a passage of Scripture, it is here. We speak about the legitimate cares of the world. Of course, there are legitimate cares. We speak about legitimate riches. Mrs. Thatcher speaks about legitimate riches. We speak about the legitimate pleasures of life, don't we? But here is the judgment that Jesus calls cares and riches and pleasures, weeds and thorns, and the very life of God in the seed is strangled. These people are not anti-God. They're not anti-Christ. They're not anti-religion. They are simply men and women in whom the seed of Christ is being slowly asphyxiated. I had an unexpected and a delightful visit from my friend George Philip and his wife Joy last Saturday evening. They were having a break in the manse at Drumnadrochit. They popped up and we sat in the study and we talked and talked and talked as ministers do. And we discussed the death of the evening service in Scotland. So much so that there are now in Scotland cities and towns where you have to travel long and weary miles to find a single place of worship open on the Lord's Day evening. Now, there are many historical reasons why the evening service has died. Originally, you know, evening services were designed for servants and working class people and housemaids and farm workers and factory workers who couldn't get to church in the morning. And up to the First World War, evening services were thronged. And in many places in Scotland, you had to queue to get into the evening service. Down in Glasgow, you had to queue for half an hour to hear George Morrison of Wellington. And here in Inverness, you had to queue to hear MacLean of Daviot when he was preaching at evening worship in this church. So George and I discussed the death of the evening service. And I humorously suggested, because there was no bitterness in our conversation, that it was more pleasant to stay at home and watch the Antiques Roadshow if you were more interested in culture than in religion, or even to listen to songs of praise, because that was at least doing something religious. And I said, you know, there are three good reasons why it's more pleasant to watch songs of praise than come to evening worship. First of all, there's no sermon in songs of praise. That makes it immediately attractive to so many people. Secondly, there's no collection. The announcer doesn't say, your offering will now be received. A hand doesn't come out of the television set to ask for your collection. And that, of course, is very attractive to many people. First of all, there's no sermon. Second, there's no collection. And thirdly, there's no fellowship. The man across the road, he's listening to songs of praise, but you don't have fellowship with him. People in Glasgow, people in Edinburgh are watching songs of praise, but they never see each other. There's no fellowship. And you don't have to go through the pains of getting along with those Christians whom you can't stand. And George said, you've missed out the most important reason for the attractiveness of songs of praise. You can always switch it off. And of course, one makes allowances for age and for health and for traveling facilities. But the real reason is that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and of pleasures have choked the seed. People in the Church of Scotland are not interested in the Word of God. Weeds, 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 and the life of Christ being asphyxiated. Is that a picture of your heart this morning? Thorns choking Christ. And the fourth heart is the fruitful heart. In verse 8, some fell into good soil, and it grew and yielded 100-fold. And the truly great thing about this fourth soil is that it holds the potential for tomorrow's harvest. Because the 100% will bring in another harvest, which will bring in another harvest, and so on, until Christ the Reaper comes. Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bear fruit. And if you have time to read the allegory of the vine in John chapter 15, you'll find that Jesus speaks about three kinds of fruit. First of all, he speaks about fruit. And then he speaks about more fruit. And then he speaks about enduring fruit. Fruit that goes beyond itself into the next harvest. I have a photograph here which is very precious to me. It was taken in church at my semi-jubilee 2 years ago. I'm in the middle, and there's James Philip, and there's Alistair Malcolm. James Philip was my spiritual father. I first heard the gospel from him and came to Christ under his preaching. Alistair Malcolm heard the gospel from me and came to Christ, and he's now in the ministry. So there you have father, son, and grandson. The harvest of the harvest. The fruit of the fruit. Fruit, more fruit, enduring fruit. But there should be three other men in this photograph. On this side, there should be William Still, because he was the spiritual father of James Philip. And further out on that side, there should be a Salvation Army officer called Oliver Clark, who was Mr. Still's spiritual father. And over on this side, there should be a young man, Thompson, Martin Thompson, who's just gone to Wigton and Kirkcowan to be the minister. Because Martin Thompson came to Christ under Alistair Malcolm, who came to Christ under me, who came to Christ under Jim Philip, who came to Christ under William Still, who came to Christ under Oliver Clark. And if the six of them had been there, it would have been father, son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, and great-great-great-grandson. And because Martin Thompson is now in Wigton, I am very shortly to become a great-great-grandfather. Because he will bring people to Christ. Fruit. More fruit. Enduring fruit. 100 percenters. That a picture of your heart today. Have you got a heart with deep soil in it, fertile, fruitful, responsive soil? Four hearts, the hard heart into which Christ cannot enter, the shallow heart of the emotionalist with his superficial response, the promising heart where the wheat is choked with weeds, or the fruitful heart which bears and bears and bears. What kind of soil is in your heart today? Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. May the Lord bless the preaching of the word. To his name be honor and praise. Hymn number 299. I hope we know the tune, Hollywood Dismissal. We sing it to the tune Dismissal. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. 299 in closing.